And I will go into your introductions in 1 minute. Thanks. Yeah, I'm gonna go get started with our introductions. So welcome. We're really excited to announce to start our new virtual seminar series called Worlds Collide: Interdisciplinary Considerations for a Future Muon Collider. This is our very first seminar. And the idea of the seminar series is to establish and strengthen communication channels between scientists and experts from other fields that we think are essential to the construction and operation of a future muon collider. And this seminar series is sponsored by the Kavli Foundation, as well as the US Muon Collider Collaboration. So for our first seminar, I'd like to introduce Chris Clapper and Patrick Gallagher, who you see on video. Chris and Patrick are installation artists based in New York, who and their work is multidisciplinary and large scale, with a focus on science and mathematical concepts. In 2023, they were the artists in residence at Fermilab. And the topic of today will be on intersections of art and science and how art can serve as a form of translation to challenging subjects. So I'm really excited to hear all about this. I also wanted to mention that they have a new solo show about to open on February 2nd at the gallery at the New York Design Center titled Beyond Measure, which draws inspiration from their residency at Fermilab and aims to translate the geometries of the quantum world. So I'm going to add the link for their show in the chat in case you're all interested. I'm actually hoping that I can make it out to New York for this, for their event, for their show. I'm going to let Chris and Patrick take it away now. So I'm going to ask everybody to mute their videos for now, and then we can bring back the videos at the end when we have a Q&A. So I think what we'll do is save questions hopefully for the end. So we'll be sure to have time for questions. I will be closing my video as well. So take it away,
All
Chris and
right.
Patrick. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you.
We're gonna just
Gonna
share
get
our
this
screen.
set up to share this.
You're in the wrong slide.
What's this?
Go around the wrong slide.
Right. We are here. Hello, and welcome. Welcome to our studio. My name is Patrick Gallagher, and this is Chris Clapper. Thank you, Toyoko. We thank you for the introduction. We'd like to start by extending our admiration and appreciation for the entire team that are working to bring the next generation muon collider to reality. We're thrilled that you're all here to join us for the launch of this seminar series that is aiming to shed light on the wider spheres of influence that groundbreaking science provides. We're here because this is important. And grateful for this opportunity to share our story and be a part of a project of this significance. To briefly introduce ourselves as artists, we're a collaborative team that's based in Brooklyn. We work across multiple disciplines, and our practice focuses on the interconnection between human experience and larger systems that shape the universe around us. Our creative process involves a wide range of materials, and a lot of what brought us here today is that our work is directly informed by science and technology. For more than a decade, we've been drawing tremendous inspiration from the fields of mathematics and science, and most recently, particle physics. Our main goal in this pursuit is to absorb influences and to find looking for new tools, unique processes, and basically anything that will help further express our ideas. This exploration had led us to Fermilab, and this was at a particularly meaningful moment for the G minus two experiment.
You may be wondering why artists were chosen to open this seminar series. Well, discovery alone is not enough. For large-scale projects like a muon collider, you have to travel outside the lab. It's very hard to describe an infinite universe that is invisible to the naked eye. I'm sure we all remember going to a planetarium for the very first time, staring up in awe at the stars and the planets dancing above our heads, that feeling that we were part of something bigger. Well, the quantum universe has that same grandeur. It's just very challenging to imagine. And we believe art helps give that context and excitement. It's a way to experience that same feeling of awe. We're definitely not here to explain physics. We're here to talk about why and what we find so inspiring, and how we believe that our art in particular can convey that inspiration to those who will never directly engage with the data. Lucky for us, engaging with the data kind of turned out to be our thing. So, along the way in our creative development, our work gravitated towards mathematical concepts and data visualizations. As we went deeper and deeper into the rabbit hole, we found rich hidden concepts.
Oh, our visual style tends to gravitate towards minimalism. And to explain that a bit, is that minimalism in the sense of aesthetics? We're really drawn to clean lines and sparse compositions. We look to show the idea that less is more. And kind of our underlying philosophy is that we look to present just enough information to deliver our message and then nothing more. But as you will see from the work that we cover today, when it comes to things like concept, process, and presentation, rather than minimal, our work is actually quite maximalist. To give a quick roadmap of our journey to particle physics, our initial focus began on visualizing raw information, and we would employ that to convey deep, abstract stories. Art always comes down to personal interpretation. We aim to create experiences where people could engage with the work and approach with questions. And this with the idea of fueling curiosity. So rather than simply leading them by a presenting a predetermined or static message, our aim was more to imply and subtly to suggest layers. And then by doing that, we are inviting viewers to draw their own conclusions. Our exploration of data initially had taken a more absurdist approach, but this data would eventually lead us quickly to math. And here we began to discover some of the profound and hidden stories that are hidden within mathematics. And we began to see what we called the poetry of numbers. It was in some of our earlier series that we were exploring ways expressing more pure math or theoretical concepts, or at least ones that we could understand. The image you see here is a sculptural representation of four-dimensional space. And we were really drawn to the idea of expressing higher dimensional geometries because while it was concrete and mathematically correct, it was also impossible.
We became particularly drawn to infinities, the sheer vastness of it. How do you explain that? How do you even comprehend that? We love this sort of push-pull idea of presenting infinity as a tangible object. Impossible, we know, but we are working on
Getting there.
it. We began by casting the Fibonacci sequence in concrete. We carved the golden ratio into white oak. Both of these sequences are well known in visual arts. However, we were looking for a unique take on the concepts. We didn't want the traditional conceptual format. So we stripped it down and elected to present it in its purest mathematical forms. Our largest infinity series to date is a global installation centered around the infinite sequence of pi, aiming to connect the world through art one digit at a time. Pi Project is a current and ongoing installation combining hand-cast physical sculptures and online data visualization. To note, each of these sculptures is 3.14 inches by 3.14 inches because we've got to be pure to the math.
Down to the 10th digit.
The further these ideas expanded, we started to see mathematics less as an esoteric abstract tool and more of a way of what it truly is, the fundamental language of the universe. We realized that no matter what forms of spoken language that we employ to communicate, the pure math behind these interactions, the forces and ratios that comprise our universe, remain constant.
So from here, our path to physics was organic. We kept pulling this thread, and there are many reasons that infinity is so fascinating and compelling. It's an idea of limitlessness forever invokes deep philosophical questions. There's something beautiful about its resistance to logic, its lack of closure. And it always leaves room for more questions. So a few years ago, we were experimenting with ways to express these ideas and began work on an installation that centered on concepts of scaling space and time. We really were drawn to the idea of contrasting an ever-expanding infinity to one that is ever-compressing. In the development phase, we had come across an elegant image from an early particle collision, and it was a result of bubble chamber experiments. We had reached out to Fermilab to see what might be available in the archives, and there we had hit a really rich vein of material that, even without understanding the specifics, these projected so much visual information. These were immediately captivating. It said so much with so little. You can instantly you get a sense of a spatial plane. You get a feel for volume, and there's force, there's energy, it's motion and even rhythm.
So this was our first installation into the realm of particle physics, and we thought the best way to express the ephemeral nature was with a performance creating a 320 square foot marble mandala that took us 30 days to create and only 15 minutes to sweep away. This piece was called Everything and Nothing. The distilled subject of Everything and Nothing was meant to convey the concept of expanding and diminishing infinities. We knew it would also be a meditation and an examination of life itself. The idea was to scale this image up and present it in a justifiably reverent format. So during this exhibition for 30 days, 14 hours a day on our hands and knees because we're crazy. We carefully and precisely mapped out and recreated the dynamic image of a particle collision from a 1978 bubble chamber experiment. This process was painstaking and detailed. We followed our outlines, as you can see here, millimeter by millimeter. We carefully laid down the crushed marble dust across the entire field. The process of getting to a particle collision takes an enormous amount of detailed and precise work. The process of creating a mandala also takes an enormous amount of detailed work and precision. Using powdered marble while being tiny particles themselves became a poetic nod that spoke to the nature of the subject. The key element we were going after was to bring these events of the physical universe into of the quantum world into onto a human scale.
So We use this process to intentionally and dramatically s slow down the actual event. A mandala or a sand painting is an ancient and sacred process. This is a practice that spans thousands of years across all cultures, and most notably today with Tibetan monks. It's an intense process of labor and intent, and it's a period of deep meditation. So here you could see that we're in it. We are uniquely focused on the actions of particle action interactions, and we're literally immersed in a quantum field.
Just as a side note, what's really interesting is the sacred geometry that monks use in their process is, in fact, a map of the universe. And while we were drawing out ours, our map of the universe just happened to look a little different.
So this was really the entire month that we were doing this was a remarkable experience. We're creating something like this falls into the category of endurance performance. So during the gallery, as the exhibition was open, we had thousands of visitors. And for everyone who entered, we would stop and we would introduce ourselves, we would introduce the work. We would give an explanation of the imagery. And it really was here that we started to see that out of these conversations, that the work was acting as a type of translation.
So what we've noticed throughout our years of creating interactive installations is that when you invite the viewer into your process or allow them to participate in some way, it instantly drops their guard and they become open to what you're trying to express. With such a complex subject that is typically presented in very abstract ways, all of a sudden was physical and extremely large.
Jumped ahead there. Sorry about that, folks. There we go. Yeah, it really it made it tangible, and it was something. It was a framework that showed that the subject was approachable, and it really was here that this project on scale was beginning to grow into something much more profound.
When you present artwork that goes beyond the initial concept, you leave the audience wanting to know more. You give them a path to curiosity. We saw this firsthand with visitors coming in to see the progress over and over again, wanting to know more. They weren't just interested in what we were doing, which obviously was very captivating, but by the way that we were explaining what they were looking at, they were very curious to learn more about physics itself and how this image came to be. This installation became not just about this, but it really was an installation about the interconnectedness of all things in the universe, the philosophical and deep questions that physics is exploring. We were really, truly able to express the ephemeral nature of reality and give a glimpse at the full circle of life.
Yeah, so there's just the process of a mandala has a lot of things going in the background as well. It really is the work gets laid out, and that is about the where you build life, and its connection to destruction is interesting because it's actually not really about destruction. It really is about transformation.
Which very much is about what, when you smash particles, the energy does not disperse. It becomes something different. It doesn't die out. It becomes something totally different.
Yeah, that was a point that people really
Yeah.
gravitated to with that. So I would add, I think here is an important point to say, yes, while our work is about science, it is also not about science. Our aim is to take and interpret many elements across many different disciplines and fold them into larger stories that we hope to suggest even larger stories. Our immersion into this single collision opened us up to see quantum physics not just as the study of tiny things, but an exploration of the furthest reaches of reality. These energies are much more than just building blocks. This is, in fact, life itself. And this understanding became an important tangent for us. It's now a reference point where what we use to explore and merge with some of the larger philosophical ideas that we aim to present. We're really looking to create works that express these thoughts and attempt to convey them and convey to our audience a spark of curiosity towards the awe of reality. So here we are. We made it. To those of you who don't know, this magnificent industrial artifact is the original bubble chamber.
Which is where our photograph was, the photograph that we did for the mandala was taken.
As artists in residence at Fermilab, we began to digest as much as we possibly could. It's an exciting place. The environment is collaborative. It's really electrifying, and it feels larger than life when you're there. For the only real guideline was that after making their initial introductions, Fermilab really just said, go and make your own path, find your way, find what interests you, and take it from there. So this sheer volume of information and all of the conceptual ideas that we had access to, it was almost overwhelming. And with there was just so many groundbreaking experiments. So early in the process, we had come across there's amazing research into neutrinos. But this really exposed us to these ideas of the more, I guess, exotic particles. So for many of you, the G minus two experiment needs no introduction. But for us, this was the first time that we were learning about it. And we found ourselves really swept up in the exciting discoveries that were unfolding in front of us. Muons grabbed our attention. And there was something really profound about the experiment's level of precision, its infinitesimal, the infinitesimal anomaly that was lurking just beneath the numbers, and something like that that could have far-reaching implications was really fascinating. And it's here where angular momentum really grabbed our focus.
Angular momentum entered our work not as a formula, but more as a feeling. It's one of those concepts that quietly governs everything, from spinning galaxies to subatomic particles, yet it's rarely encountered as something that you can see. What drew us to it was its universality, that same underlying behavior expressing itself across radically different scales. That sense of sameness, repeating from the cosmic to the quantum, felt deeply aligned with how we already understood our world. We understood the world and actually and our work, our artwork. Our approach was similar to how we conceived everything and nothing. Slow it down, scale it up, make it perceptible, and see what happens. We weren't interested in illustrating angular momentum literally, but in creating a system that could behave like it, one that allowed rotation, interference, resonance, and symmetry that emerged through motion.
So, given that our audience today, I think we have quite a scientific audience, we thought it was important that we could express, present at least some of the details and how these were created and how the system that we made mirrors actual quantum systems. And we were looking to really try to emulate what we understood of how the different eigenstates related. The series is generated through a custom-built visual program that acts as an instrument. Think of it like a synthesizer, but for 3D visuals. With starting this, we have a series of concentric spheres, and this allows us to manipulate behaviors such as their position, the rotations, their structure. And we're able to manipulate these forms directly. And as they're interacting, we're able to work with them as they're evolving. The options here are really almost unlimited. We're playing with rhythm, we're changing the rotation, we're adding waveforms to the surface. We're able to push the amplitudes, change wave functions. It really allowed us to realize the representations in detail, and we were looking to visually mimic the spaces of the subatomic universe. Here, we really began to understand what it might feel like to be inside these dynamics and to observe not just spin, but the relationships between spinning forms, how they might align, how they drift, lock into rhythm, or even fall out of sync. What developed out of this process is a series that presents the beauty of geometries. What we were really looking to achieve in this was, in the final results, was to capture the essence of what we had found to be so intriguing. This here are the energies expressing delicate patterns, motion, and movement. We had the ability to control lines and points, and this would allow the work to evolve into hypnotic environments.
It was really important for us to be careful about how we push the color and pull the tones and the shading, about how we added the sound, how we really made it really immersive. This opened it up to opened up the work to be sensorial. It allowed us to bring in poetry to the source material and express the elements of the science that really captivated us from the start. At times, the system settles into moments of coherence. At others, it becomes unstable and unpredictable. It's fascinating to see how even small changes could radically alter the whole, mirroring the sensitivity and richness of physical systems governed by angular momentum. Now, I'm not sure if you can see on your screen. I don't know if the detail comes through, but we really showed the detail of what it would be as if particles were coming apart. So there's throughout the whole piece, there's little tiny dots all around. And when you're looking at the image, the real art piece is 8 feet by 4 feet. So you really get to see all of that detail. What really emerged from this whole depiction of this data was a visual language that shaped the same principles. The work became a space where motion, symmetry, and scale could be felt intuitively. Viewers don't need to understand the equations to sense that something fundamental is at play. In that way, angular momentum became less of a subject and more of a bridge, a way to translate an invisible structure of reality into the experience that could be seen, felt, and contemplated.
So at this point, we began to ask ourselves a set of different questions, and not about what, how are we going to illustrate this, but why, and what were we really looking to explore? I think we really found that angular momentum, just the idea of that, the parameter of it really expressed it, landed with us in so much of what we were doing. So, like, what were we hoping to express with this?
Like, what were we trying? What could a project of angular momentum even look like? When you think about something that is hard to explain, how do you visualize that?
So, yeah, as I, what are we trying to communicate? And I think that what we found is there is something in there that maybe is less concrete, and there's a it's it expresses an intuition that beneath all the complexity that there exists an organizing behavior, that something that we recognize before we can even name it.
These questions didn't lead us toward answers, but they led us to define a space of inquiry. While our series of on angular momentum exists across multiple disciplines, bringing it into the physical realm took the form of what we've come to call algorithmic paintings. Through dye sublimation on aluminum, the imagery gains a material presence that reinforces its spatial complexities. The surface becomes luminous. Depth feels implied rather than illustrated. And the geometry begins to suggest something closer to a curved or hyperbolic space.
Yeah, and color plays a crucial role here as well. You know, something that we think carefully about color, and because of it's a very powerful tool, it can project tremendous amounts of information, and it has the power to repel and attract. And if we're using it deliberately and carefully, we can draw the viewer in and hold attention in a way that doesn't overwhelm and allows the work space to breathe. So we've something that can be felt and rather than just decoded.
Something also about the material being reflective. When the viewer is looking at these two-dimensional pieces, it does become about the interconnection of all things in the universe because the viewer then becomes part of the piece. It's impossible to be in front of it without becoming part of it. And this was an important thing for us, not just to show angular momentum, but really to express what physics is about, which is everything in the universe. It is everything.
Yeah,
It is the most inspiring thing when you break it down into this way because it is the language, it is the study of life, of everything that exists.
you know, it really is that to come to the understanding about these energies and the dances that are occurring. I mean, this is if you know, looking at your hands, that's your trillions of these dances are happening there. It's happening around you. When you look up at the sun, I mean, it's the entire universe. So that's really profound, and that really did draw us into expressing that. And I think that also some of the images that we show there, those were Fermilab. There
We
are
did
people
show
at
them at,
Fermilab
we
that
should
probably have
recognize those.
seen a few of those. Yeah, that process really allows the work to get the viewer involved and to feel and to understand that this is like their environment and this concept all comes together. So, coming back to this idea of art as translation, I think that for us and for most people, there's the more, I guess, the standard planetary model of atoms and the understanding of the atomic and subatomic world. That was really at the extent of our understanding and visualization. So when we were coming up with this talk, we had recently come across a short clip with Richard Feynman, and he was speaking on the nature of genius and the importance of visualization. And the timing of finding that was perfect because it fits so well with the topic today. And he talked about how across institutions and campuses around the world, he would meet all manner of brilliant people. They knew well all of the equations and the formulas and very versed in the technical aspects of quantum mechanics. But he was surprised at how few visualized it. And he went on to say that, I mean, at least for him, that visualization was key to approaching any subject. And even more so, quantum physics. And that imagining himself the size of an electron helped him understand what was happening inside the equations. And I think the larger point and what we're talking about is visualization equals understanding, and how our work ties in with this. So I think that inadvertently, finding that the sentiment between us and our work, it has a lot of similarities. We were imagining quantum mechanics as massive systems. We wanted to be, what does it look like? We were able to fly into these infinitesimal energies and imagine them as space. So visualizations such as these can express so much, and it's not just for the uninitiated and to really look for a new audience, but potentially and hopefully with researchers as well. I mean, we don't really know. It's like maybe just looking at something a little bit different, so hiding within these interference patterns, there are a few answers to things. Maybe you could, I don't know. Maybe a different perspective gives, we're giving physicality to some of these probabilities. And maybe that person will go on to have that thought.
What became really clear to us, I think, was like the reciprocity. On one hand, you have quantum physics deeply informing us, the world, and our artwork. On the other hand, our work offers an entry point for curiosity, one that doesn't require prior fluency in equations or formal language. This raised a question for us: what role can art play inside a scientific field? And that brings us to where we are now, here with all of you.
So yeah, we plan to follow this thread and to further expand the model, and we're exploring ways to incorporate more variables and maybe even get to the point where we're adding data-driven interactions. We want to see what else we might uncover.
Right now is a very exciting point in time. The hosts of this event are pushing to break new boundaries to unlock hidden stories about our universe. The Muon Collider points toward discoveries and applications that haven't yet taken shape. Ideas that are still forming, still invisible, some still unimaginable. and we see our role as continuing this journey alongside the scientific community and paying very close attention. And we also see our job will be to respond with thoughtful and creative insight, and hopefully we can build a bridge for a larger audience. Thank you very much
Thank
for
you.
taking the time to view our work and to be here with us today.
Thank you so much. That was very eye-opening, really great. And I particularly appreciate you highlighting the intersection of art and science meeting at the point of curiosity, because I think that's where science really begins, by asking questions and being curious about the world. And it sounds like that's also kind of where artworks stems from too. So we meet at this nice intersection.
Yeah.
There's a lot of claps and
Well,
hearts.
thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I want to open it up to questions. I'm sure there are a lot of questions out there. And please use your raise hand if you'd like to ask a question. JP has a question. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Yeah.
Perfect. So first of all, thank you for that amazing presentation. That was super duper fascinating. And it's
Thank you.
always really
Thank
cool to
you.
see, you know, the more artistic side of, you know, how you interpret physics. I was really curious, what software programming you're using to make those particle visualizations, the ones that react with angular momentum. I was wondering if you could say a little bit more about that.
Yes, this is a it's a mathematical program that is it's called MaxMSP, and it basically is it allows it's on a base of I think C++, and but it allows us to work with that in objects, so it's a little bit more digestible for us as artists.
Just to note though, the program itself, we created the program.
Yeah.
So we used a platform called MaxMSP, but the program itself was something that we custom made. So it's not something that is.
Yeah, basically we start from scratch. It starts with nothing, and then we add the objects, we add the control, we add the environment,
We think about
and
what we want to show and then start adding that into to create this program.
so it really is from scratch, is but yeah.
Awesome. Okay, thank you for explaining.
I think CC Hannah, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name. Please go ahead.
No, that's fine. I just wanted to ask about the sounds that you'd incorporated in some of the pieces and where they came from.
Yeah, so
Simple.
we created those as well. This we through all of our projects have we have a compositional element that runs through them.
Sound is a really great way to make the artwork much more inner, make it more connected, because if you can get different senses. If you've got the visual, you've got then the sound, it really brings the viewer in. So we've been for the last 10 years always incorporating music and
Really, with a sensitivity to the subject, and I think for this, we there's a lot of delicate sounds, and you know we're really trying to project the volume of these spaces. So you know there's a lot of ambience and elements with just we try to give the sounds space. And to be very careful with them as well,
And the
because
sound is made from us. It's not something that we grab. It's custom made specifically for the piece, depending on what we're trying to convey.
that's really cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
There are questions. There's one from Susan.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, good. Hi. I have been lucky enough to know Chris and Patrick and watch their work develop for 25 years now, and they never cease to surprise me. So I'm so curious, what is next with the momentum that you're generating or have generated? Do you have some ideas of where this work is going to go now or next?
Right. Yeah, well,
Thank
thank you,
you.
Susan. Thank
Thanks,
you.
Susan.
We do where I there's well a lot of in a lot of what our journey has been is that projects open doors, and we've start from where we started to how we got here. We really almost couldn't have imagined to where we are at this point. With this program and this visualization, like we to maybe to be able to get to that where we are creating more complex, maybe getting involved with other physicists to do that in a data-driven way so that the work is a little bit more accurate to the subject. And then we really can take that and maybe see where it goes.
An idea that we've been talking about for quite some time was to really create a space that would be immersive. So when you walk into the space, you become part of it, which would include video so that you're walking into everything, and then it would be sound. So it would be completely immersive that the viewer would not just be looking at a two-dimensional either video or a two-dimensional piece on a wall, but really become part of
You know, like a,
the installation, the immersion of
yeah,
it.
exactly. I was going to say immersive installation would be
Yeah.
great to see this work. And, you know, that's just a matter of find the pieces coming together.
Question from the West Wing.
Are there? Yeah. Oh, great. We're unmuted. I just wanted to know how you find the community partners in order to show your pieces. So obviously the mandala was hosted by some gallery. You had pictures of when your angular momentum pieces were at the Fermilab gallery, but I'm assuming that's not the only place that these go. How do you find those gallery and curator partners to show the work to larger audiences?
Well, being an artist is a hard job.
That,
That we need to go for drinks for that
oh,
one. But I think, we've been artists for 25 years, and really going and finding the art community that speaks to the same kind of disciplines that we're in, obviously science and math and our kind of expression that we do. It takes a lot of work to weed out where you can find those connections. There's thousands and I don't even know, I couldn't even count how many galleries and curators and people there are in the art world. But you have to find the community that understands your work, or at least has a appreciation for what we
connection to
can
the
do,
style
the
as
style.
well.
This show that we have that's opening up on Monday, this has been a while coming, and we showed our work at Aurora Museum and then at Fermilab, and just still continuing to reach out and find ways
To bring it
to
to
bring
New
it To
York
bring it to New
here.
York.
And yeah, you know, and then you know, this exhibition is all new work, and we have a lot of new pieces for that. But then it's finding spaces like for the mandala, you know, it's finding a space that understands that the art could be an experience, and there are plenty of gallery museum spaces. That's, you know, they're going to focus on more on painting or printmaking, and you know, doing a mandala or a installation with projections is a certain type of space, and they see a certain way.
Yeah.
I'm gonna jump on this raised hand while we're here.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you can just talk a little bit about the experience of the interactions. You talked a lot about how people would come up to you and talk with you while you were doing the mandala, but I'm curious, what kind of engagement, what really stuck out to you? How did you know you were succeeding in communicating to the public who you were speaking to in those experiences?
You can pretty much tell when you're speaking to people would come up and they'd be like, oh, this is such a pretty design. And then we would say, well, it's actually not a design. It's a photograph from a particle collision. And once you get into that kind of stuff, you can pretty much see the wall come down, like you're speaking a different language. That they're like, oh, about particle physics, I don't know what you're talking about. So you have to be really intuitive to what this person is interested in and follow their lead. So you have to go at it in a way that you can slowly give them the information. If you start to lose them, you have to pull back and start more, talk more about the artwork of it. But if you can get into that spot and show them that it's actually approachable and it doesn't have to be something that seems like this esoteric thing, and you explain it in a way that it is this study of life. And when you break it down into that way, they're like, wait, oh, right. I always
That's
thought
correct.
science is science and I can't understand that. But if you explain it that it's the study of life and that's what's so inspiring about it, you can find your little points to go in and really connect with them.
I think going back to the idea of that mandala being 20 foot by 16 foot, the fact that we're in it and we're standing in it, and the audience is able to walk around the platform, so they're really seeing this larger than life. And at that point, we were really describing what the lines meant and what was happening, where the sort of the circular shapes go, and they would ask questions of like, why does some of them go this way and why some of them goes that way? And we started to, as we answered that, you really could see they were like, oh wow, that's I get it, that makes sense. And they started to see the environment as magnetics as well, so that really made it a strong connection. And then the other is the element of the mandala itself, and just the process, and people were really getting to describe that and understand that ephemeralness of how that was going to be destroyed and not exist anymore. And so we had a lot to talk and engage with people on while we were doing that.
Excellent.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, to me. Okay, yeah. I just wanted to say thanks for the super inspiring talk with
Thank you.
not only all of the cool visuals, but also it was a pleasure to kind of hear your guys's narration of it. And, well, and your, I don't know if it was at some time stream of consciousness, but to witness the imagination that you bring to the art, but then also to see the scientific literacy at the same time. It was just like a really cool thing that I don't see a lot. And
Thank you
I
so much.
also liked that you guys, oh yeah. And I look forward to seeing your immersive exhibits. And the point about taking inspiration from Feynman, who I didn't know he was, it makes sense now with Feynman diagrams that he was a big proponent of visualizations. But I think that's a cool aspiration to have to help all of us to visualize what we're already working on.
I think we lost you for a second.
Things we already know, but to help us learn that became almost universally used. Oh, sorry. But he created Feynman diagrams, which became universally used by everybody too. And it makes me wonder, could we incorporate some of these things, some of these ideas into and kind of what I'm doing. When I run MadGraph, when I do a grid pack, it produces a bunch of Feynman diagrams. Is there a way that it could also produce other visualizations, because the Feynman diagram is a tiny slice of, the full amplitude that we're looking at. But I just am thinking of ways to bring it even closer to people's individual work, and I'll be curious about that and looking at ways that I could
I think that's
explore
a,
that.
I think that's what's actually exciting is that if when we connect to physicists doing the work, if they can connect to our artwork, then we can bring a language to them that actually might go to help, more explorations. And like
Like
we,
creates like a feedback on
yeah.
itself where
One of the things we love about collaborating, because we were artists, individual artists for many years by, doing our own thing. But when we started to collaborate, there was like this synergy that started happening. And I know that, you guys are all doing work that you have to collaborate because you don't know, you not one person can do an experiment. It's an enormous amount of people together. So that kind of collaboration really starts to kind of build up on each other. And we really hope to be able to partner with more scientists along the way to see where what how we can help, how what we can give back to this whole study, because it's so inspiring to us, so that when we get to learn new things, we get to take that and digest it, and then we can bring it back, and then there's this whole give and take that's really phenomenal.
Yeah, that is that back to the reciprocity. And yeah, we would love to see how at some if the opportunity arises to to be able to develop this even further, that would be amazing.
Thank you,
Cool.
Sam.
I hope so. Let's do it. Thanks.
Cool. Let's go to Larry.
Sure. Hi. Thanks. Thanks so much for the awesome talk. Super, super interesting and really
Thank
beautiful
you.
stuff.
Thank you.
The question is, so at least one of your missions or part of your mission, and I think for many of us in the room, is to create a possibility for engagement for the public for what is otherwise pretty esoteric, so that we have public value in scientific work as part of, the human experience in the way that art is, right? And so that's really great. A lot of what you've talked about is about making things very physical and personally experienced on this kind of one-to-one scale, and person-to-person scale, again, kind of individualistically communicating these things to people. But I was wondering if you have thoughts on reaching a lot more people. Because clearly, a lot of your work, or at least some of your work that you've presented here, translates really well over a screen to an audience on Zoom or whatever it might be. So, if you could talk a bit about that trade-off, it's obviously a little less personal, but you can take stuff online, have larger scale media, this kind of thing, so it's like a reach.
I mean, I think that. Well, we certainly for Pi Project, we have that is half of that project is online and exists there. But then, I mean, there are online resources that we are a part of, but it's also there's really something about that sort of intimate exchange that is important. Even that the installations can bring larger audiences and looking at the work in more like a gallery or museum, but there's something about having those physicalities that make it a different experience, and it would be a different approach to do if it
I
was
mean, our work looks
typical.
great online, but it's also really it's something that we like. We were talking when Susan asked the question about, how what do we see? Where do we see this going? It is something that we want to make bigger to have large audiences come through and see and experience. Our very first installation that we collaborated on. Was a self-contained thunderstorm that we created that was in a gallery that was 7,000 square feet, and the sculptures were 22 feet by 5 feet in diameter, and they were actually musical instruments of a thunderstorm. So the viewers were musicians and composers of atmospheric sounds. You pushed these big sculptures that they were 600 pounds each, but you could feel their weight. But they moved easily. So that was thousands of people came through. And so while it could be very intimate if you were in the gallery by yourself, it became a much bigger audience. So thousands of people were coming through to see this installation and interact with it. And even when they were there with many people, it still became an intimate moment with the sculptures. And I think that is a really good play on how you can take something big, but then also make it intimate and connection. So I think that's something that we try to really have with a lot of our work, like why we made our these pieces metallic, so that while many people are looking at it at the same time, it becomes all this also this intimate connection. So I think that's a really important thing
This
that is part of that makes it a nice a sensitivity to the artwork.
not something that's necessarily on our radar, but I mean, at some point we have talked about how incredible it would be to see this work developed into something that was like a planetarium scale, so that
Anyone know access to a planetarium? We'll do it.
yeah, that would be something. I don't know, was there a specific idea that you had in mind, or is it just the seeing where that.
No, I play in this space a bit too of trying to figure out how to get larger and larger audiences and this kind of thing for the sake of this kind of large scale scientific outreach. And yeah, I struggle with this in terms of, okay, how much is YouTube, using YouTube as a medium, for example, how much is that too disconnected from your audience, this kind of thing, versus, yeah, I do musical outreach, and so we've got like a club full of people, which is great, which gives you that kind of one-to-one, more intimate relationship there. But yeah, trying to balance that other mission of getting more people on our side in some way. It's just I just was wondering if you had thought about that. Yeah, no, that's a very interesting way to think about it. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. I think that brings us to the end of our questions, and it's right around time. So I want to thank Chris Clapper and Patrick Gallagher again. Thank you so much. That was a very
Great.
enlightening
Thank you.
talk, and I think we all look forward to future collaboration. I just want to mention I also dropped the link again for their new show in New York. So if you are nearby or happen to be in town there, I encourage you to stop by. And also, I wanted to mention that we plan to continue this seminar series. So this is the first, and we have several more planned for this semester. And we plan to have about one talk per month. So please stay tuned on your mailing list and keep an eye out. We will announce the upcoming seminar soon. Thank you,
Great. Thank you,
everyone.
everybody.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.